Welcome to Global Journalist on KBIA. I'm Stuart Lurie of the Missouri School of Journalism. By now, the last presidential debate has been talked about endlessly by journalists, pundits, analysts, and those interested in politics as just plain citizens in the United States. We think we know who won, who lost, and how many voters are still undecided. By all accounts, this will be a very close election. But the American election campaign has another constituency, and that one is from other countries. A survey done by a Canadian firm of 34,000 people in 35 countries around the world shows Senator John Kerry to be the overwhelming favorite outside the United States. Why is this? How much attention was paid to the debates around the world, particularly last night's, and what was made of them? In fact, what do people in other countries make of the entire American electoral process? Those are the questions for today, and to discuss them, our guests are Lee Sales, a correspondent with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation in Washington, D.C., Martin Coste, South American correspondent for National Public Radio in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Bertram Eisenhower, an editor of the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung in Frankfurt, Germany, Patrick Fort, correspondent for Agence France-Presse in Madrid, and Boris Volkhansky, a columnist for Kommersant, a daily newspaper in Moscow. Welcome to all of you. Let's start by asking each of our guests how important this election campaign is in other countries. Lee Sales, what about Australia? It just finished its own election. Was this one in the United States paid much attention to during the election in Australia?
For the past couple of years in Australia, Australia's relationship with the United States and our alliance has been very much in the spotlight because our Prime Minister has taken our country a lot closer to the US and he has a very strong personal relationship with President Bush. Not all Australians have been happy with that. Not all Australians were happy that we participated in the war in Iraq. We've signed a free trade deal as well with the United States, which was controversial. So Australia's relationship with America was a feature of our own election campaign, and it was a differential between our Prime Minister and our opposition leader. In terms of the overall US campaign, I think in the next couple of weeks in Australia we're going to see more attention directed to it because we've just had our own election campaign. Of course, that tends to overshadow all of the international news, but I think now Australians will turn and start to focus on the US.
Mr. Howard was, re-elected. He is a strong conservative. Is it considered that there is any indication of how the vote might go in the United States from this?
I don't know that you could draw that parallel, but I think there are some interesting similarities. In Australia, we had John Howard, who's an established incumbent, who was our leader during September 11, who was our leader during the war in Iraq and involved us in that. The opposition leader, who he ran up against, was a man by the name of Mark Latham, who was only installed to lead the party earlier this year. What happened in the election was that Australians basically decided they weren't comfortable going with the new guy because they just didn't know him as well as John Howard. They weren't entirely sure what he stood for, and because our economy is going along quite well at the moment and people are reasonably comfortable, there wasn't any huge impetus to change, and Mark Latham didn't give them enough reason to change. I've just been travelling across the US for the past couple of weeks doing some stories about the election here, and I tended to get that sort of a mood here as well. People often would say to me that They didn't love George Bush. You know, they were sort of open to the idea of change, but I heard it said over and over again that they weren't quite sure if John Kerry was the person that they want to change to. So I think there's that similarity between Australia and the US.
Okay, if I can move on to Russia. Boris Volkhansky, George Bush considers Vladimir Putin to be his friend. Is there much attention being paid to the campaign in Russia, and how do people there feel about Bush versus Kerry?
Well, I would say that elections in the United States have always been a topic of public interest, but there are probably two approaches. One is on the state level, that is president or formerly the party leaders, leadership and so on. And the other is, well, I would call it a housewife approach, which is probably also true for America. If we look upon this general public attitude towards who is going to win or who is going to lose, then I might say that there is a great degree of dislike of President Bush in Russia. But the history, at least the history of the second half of the 20th century, shows that, however, well, even if the Russian media or Soviet media at that time labeled Republicans as reactionaries, I mean, quote marks, and Democrats as progressive party, the real state of relations was usually better under Republicans. And, well, when we say that President Putin and President Bush called each other their friends, I think it's not, well, it's not the real cause. It's just the consequence of the real state of relations.
As Margaret Thatcher once said about Mikhail Gorbachev, George Bush feels he can do business with Vladimir Putin. Let's move on to Germany. Bertram Eisenhower, a poll that I referred to at the beginning of the broadcast in Germany found that 74% of the respondents were in favor of John Kerry versus George Bush. And I think that reflects relations between the two countries. Has the campaign been followed closely in Germany?
Yes, I think it's been followed quite closely, and I assume that the interest will get more intense in the next couple of weeks or so. For instance, all the presidential debates were broadcast live, although usually in the middle of the night, around 3 o'clock in the morning, here on the German public stations. So there's great interest. You just referred to the poll. I think you can. It's safe to say that Germans in a large majority dislike George Bush both as as far as his policies are concerned, but also I think there's sort of a cultural gap between Germans and George Bush. For Germans, I think George Bush represents that half of America that they don't feel comfortable with. They just people who carry guns, who are against abortions, who are swaggering Texans. It's there's also, I think, a strong cultural element. And when Bill Clinton was here a few weeks ago to market his autobiography, there was a sort of a real sense that people were looking towards him as the embodiment of a better America in a way.
Okay, if I may move on to Spain now and ask Patrick Fort the situation there. Patrick, Spain, of course, was a member of President Bush's coalition in Iraq. And then after a change in government there, it pulled out of the coalition, or at least it brought its troops home. I don't know whether it's fair to say that it pulled out of the coalition completely. What is the situation there?
Well, the joke here is that they don't understand why the Americans are the only ones allowed to vote at the American election, because what America decides concerns everybody, and that's because they evidently want Kerry to win here, and in a global, probably everybody here like dislikes George Bush, doesn't like his policy in Iraq. 80% of the Spaniards were against the participation of Spanish troops in Iraq, and the socialists won the elections because of the bombings, but also because Aznar had put troops in Iraq. So people here really dislike Bush more than they like Kerry. They just want a change, and they just want the war in Iraq to stop, and they want different solutions against terrorism, and they think George Bush isn't the person who can do that. They see him as a somebody who likes to go to war, somebody who doesn't know anything about foreign politics, and Kerry, on the other hand, even if he's not very famous in Europe, he represents a bit like Europe or the Democrats or something like somebody who will be able to negotiate with the Islamist countries.
Okay, and now if we can move on to Latin America and ask Martin Caste the situation in Brazil.
Well, I mean, I think it's no surprise, like almost everywhere else in the world, that the general public opinion in Brazil has been very, very sour towards George Bush since probably since about 2002 and especially 2003 in the lead up to the Iraq War. I mean, it's almost a given. Any room you walk into, if the subject of the U.S. election comes up, the mood just darkens. I think most people around the world would probably tell similar stories. There is some interest in this, but there's also sort of a sense of general disgust with U.S. politics. I wouldn't say Brazilians are following a debate, for example, very closely. I mean, yes, it's a minor international news story in the papers here, but, for one thing, very few Brazilians speak English, especially not English well enough to watch the debate. It was on cable here, but I would think about 100 times more people are watching the Colombia-Brazil soccer game last night than that. That's the mood is sort of a pox on both houses, perhaps, sort of a sense of confusion over where the U.S. is going, why it's following this course of action in the Middle East. If you talk to the business elite here, it's a little different. There's also sort of a cultural rejection of George Bush, but at the same time, if they're just talking about their personal economic interest, there's traditionally a sense in Latin America that Democrats are worse for business because a Democrat is more likely to try to protect U.S. jobs, and that's bad for Latin American exports. And especially a country like Brazil, which is kind of crawling out of economic hard times, it's actually got some nice booming exports right now. The specter of Kerry coming into office and shutting down some of those exports, especially in agricultural exports to the United States, like orange juice and soybeans, that kind of thing, that kind of worries the business elite here. But the average Brazilian, you can almost safely assume that 9 out of 10 would love to see George Bush get voted out of office.
Okay, I want to come back to some of the issues, but first I just want to say, Martin, you mentioned the Colombia-Brazil soccer game. In the United States, viewers had the chance of watching not only the debates, but two playoff baseball games to see who was going to play in the World Series. It'll be interesting to see later on today what the ratings were for the baseball games versus the debates. But right now, I have to say you're listening to Global Journalist on KBIA, and I'm Stuart Lurie. Welcome back to Global Journalist. You may listen to this program again, ask questions, or make comments by going to www.globaljournalist.org or here in Mid-Missouri by calling us at 872-982-9641. That's 573-882-9641. Let's come back to what the issues are that most people around the world are interested in. The conventional wisdom, of course, and probably the wisdom, is that the big issue is the war in Iraq and against terrorism. But Martin Caste just mentioned other issues, the economic issues, and there are also some social issues. Boris Volkonsky, what about in Russia? Is there any particular interest in anything but the war against terrorism?
Yes, definitely. We are part of this war, and we have our problems with terrorism here on Russian soil, and therefore, in that respect, I would say that the Republican approach would be more favorable towards what Russia is doing in Chechnya, because they are pragmatic and they are less idealistic, although maybe less human than Democrats, I don't know. I'm not going to make any judgments on political parties in the United States, but still, the Democrats tend to raise the question of human rights, abuses, and that stuff, that sort of things. But in that case, in that respect, I think that the Republican administration would be more favorable.
And Bertram, what are the issues in Germany besides Bush's conduct of the war in Iraq and against terrorism around the world?
Well, I think clearly the war in Iraq overshadows most other issues on this. In 2002, we had a federal election here where Social Democrats, who were in power, held on to power because one of the two major reasons was because they opposed George Bush's engagement in Iraq. And that was, and they quite, you know, cleverly saw that the electorate, you know, was very much against this war. So that's, you know, that's the issue that's, I think, more important to, you know, to Germans than anything else. But as I said, you know, earlier, I think there's also a question of chemistry, you know, between you know, the Germans who look towards the United States and see George Bush, you know, and there's a lot of talk about the U.S. being a 50-50 nation, and as I said earlier, you know, Bush clearly is the representative of that half, you know, that of the United States that Germans just do not, you know, like. It's more of a gut feeling too. So there's, you know, sort of a very strong issue, but also a cultural gap.
Well, the issues that were discussed last night were mostly economic and social. As well as the economy, there were issues like abortion, health care, children's rights, the rights of immigrants, the care of the aged. Lee Sales, do these issues have much resonance in Australia?
Look, to be honest, I have to agree with everybody else and say that US foreign policy overshadows every other concern, basically, as far as Australians are concerned regarding the election. And that's on two levels. One is the war on terrorism and how the US intends to continue prosecuting that. The other side of it for us is how the US engages with our neighbours. So US relations with Indonesia, what's going to happen with North Korea, US relations with China, those things are quite critical to Australians. And also trade issues for us are quite important, and how the US economy tracking, all of those sorts of things have a spin-off effect. But I agree with the earlier comments that pretty much whatever the US decides to focus on has ripples all throughout the world. So I think for Australia, we tend to be interested in whatever the US is directing most of its energy towards, because we know that's the thing that's going to most affect us. So, for example, the US at the moment isn't paying a great deal of attention, this administration, to environmental issues or human rights issues. They're more focused on security and those types of things. So subsequently, that's what Australia tends to focus on as well.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned the environmental issue, and Boris Volkonsky, Russia just ratified the Kyoto Treaty on global warming. Is the feeling in Moscow that this is going to have any great influence on the United States?
No, I don't think so. I would say that it went unnoticed in Russia because, well, Russian public in general is not that much concerned about such issues as, well, unfortunately, I might say, that as environmental protection. That's one of the... Well, it's obvious that it is true what I say, but... I regret it, and I don't think so.
Right. And if I may ask Bertram Eisenhower,
sure.
Is it the feeling in Germany that if Kerry is elected, there will be any great change in relations between Germany and the United States?
Well, I think the expectation is clearly there. I sort of have a hunch that a lot of Germans, if Kerry were to be elected, would be quite disappointed, because my hunch is that Kerry, in many ways, will be a little more, you know, diplomatic, a bit more multilateral. But, you know, many of the policies will be quite the same, especially, you know, as I said, with the war in Iraq. There was a comment, actually, by the German defense minister yesterday, and he said that at this point Germany would not commit any troops to Iraq, but, you know, maybe in the long run, in a few years, that could happen. And there were some people who speculated here, some political observers, who said, well, maybe he was, you know, already kind of expecting a Kerry victory and wanted to signal to him that, well, you know, maybe Germany You know, we've said repeatedly that we would not commit any troops to the war in Iraq. But, you know, if with the President Kerry, things could be a little different. But today, actually, you know, the Chancellor, both the Chancellor and our Secretary of State said, no. You know, the defense minister was misquoted, and you know, there's no way that German troops would ever participate in the operation in Iraq. So there is an expectation, clearly, that Kerry would bring change. If that is a realistic expectation, if you look at the candidates, sort of at the differences in the candidates' outlook, I'm quite doubtful about this.
Patrick Fort, what about in Spain? Would a Kerry victory do anything to change attitudes in Spain?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would really change attitudes because, we talked about Iraq, right? But we talked about Kyoto, and the Spaniards feel that you know Bush has rules for the United States that are not that he doesn't want to respect, that he wants everybody else to respect, but not the United States to respect, and they feel like he doesn't respect other countries. And so on all issues, it appears that Kerry will discuss further options or negotiate on other or even on the trade. So globally, everybody feels like overshoot a bit, but everybody feels a bit like George Bush is a kind of dictator or imposing an American dictatorship around on the world. And they would like this to stop, and they see Kerry as somebody who can talk about it, who can talk about what he sees for the future, and like in Germany, Spain doesn't rule out going back to Iraq if it's a UN decision, and apparently Kerry wants to give back some power to the United Nations, and I think lots of things could change in Europe, if Kerry is elected, and towards what the public opinion is towards the United States if Kerry is elected.
What about this idea of George Bush as dictator? Martin Coste, is there any feeling like that in the country you cover?
Well, I mean, in all of Latin America, traditionally, rightly or wrongly, the U.S. government, whoever the president is painted sort of as something of a bully, something of a might makes right type. I think maybe the one exception in recent history was Jimmy Carter, who was seen as a guy who at least went through the motions of trying to have more of a cooperative relationship with Latin America. I think that you know, if Kerry were to win, a lot of those same resentments would probably end up bubbling up anyway, because as I think one of the other journalists pointed out, U.S. policy does not turn on a dime, and especially second-tier policy right now, especially things having to do with import tariffs or the drug war. The U.S. relationship with Venezuela is not going to change radically. John Kerry's on the record basically backing Washington's current hostility, I guess you'd say, towards Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela. So, you know, I think in some ways, from a Latin American point of view, especially from the point of view of the opinion makers, journalists, and you know, the elite here, you know, whoever the U.S. president is, usually is quickly seen as kind of a something of a bully. So I'm not sure John Kerry can change that. But at the moment, the disgust with Bush is so great that, you know, the anything but sentiment wins out here.
So now we have the American president as dictator and bully. Lee Sales, do those descriptions apply in Australia?
Look, I don't think so, to be honest. I think that Australia is slightly warmer towards George Bush than some of the countries of Europe. I'm not sure about South America and public opinion there. You know, we didn't see the sort of protests in Australia that, for example, Tony Blair had to endure in England. Certainly there's opposition to the war in Iraq, but it hasn't been felt as strongly as it has been around the rest of the world. Australia is a fairly insecure country because of the fact that we're an island and we're a, you know, a nation from an Anglo-Saxon heritage in the middle of Asia, the Australian population is quite fearful about our security, rightly or wrongly. And so I think generally the Australian population always feels quite warmly towards whoever the administration is in the United States, because traditionally we look to having a relationship with a nation which can be our protector. Obviously, it was Great Britain for very many years, and then in recent decades since the Second World War, we've switched more towards the United States. So I think you'd find a mixed range of opinions on George Bush if you went to Australia. Some people would like him, some people would not. But I don't think you could say that there's overall a hostility towards him in Australia or a sense that he's a dictator.
Yeah. I get the feeling from all of you that there is really not much George Bush can do to repair his relationships around the world in Germany or Spain, and even in some extent in Russia, although maybe I'm wrong about that. Does anybody have any comment on that?
Well,
This is Martin Costi in Rio. I think you're right, and I think that's kind of the catch-22 for Bush. Even if he really started to work more through the UN again, I think he will always be seen with so much suspicion and misgiving that he's almost damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. And I think the whole rebranding idea behind the Kerry campaign, the United States needs a new face, that kind of thing, in terms of at least relationships with areas like Latin America, and I suspect with Europe too, is really right on, that perhaps some of the same policies with a new face might be more palatable to the rest of the world.
Yeah, Bertram, did I hear you?
Yeah, well, in all fairness, I think we should also note that George Bush is not entirely, to blame for this shift, at least as far as Europe is concerned, in the relations between the U.S. and other countries. I think what has happened is that, because Lee just mentioned that Australia looked towards the United States as a protector, and of course, for decades during the Cold War, the U.S. was a protector of Western Europe, and that largely defined the relations between Western Europe, Germany, among those countries, of course, and the U.S. And since the end of the Cold War, I think there's been sort of a creeping change in that relationship, in that now the Europeans feel more independent towards the United States, clearly, and with, I think Clinton sort of, he sort of slowed down that process a little bit, but clearly, Europeans now, since they're no longer so dependent on the protection by the United States, now feel they can develop their own policy, and clearly, the social democratic government that we have now in Germany feels that they can become a little more nationalist.
Bertram, I'm sorry. Sorry, I do have to cut you off. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Our guests today have been Boris Volkhonsky, a columnist for Kommersant in Moscow, Patrick Fort, correspondent for Agence France-Presse in Madrid, Bertram Eisenhower, an editor of Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung in Frankfurt, Germany, Martin Coste, South American correspondent for National Public Radio in Rio de Janeiro, and Lee Sales of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation in Washington. Our director is Pat Akers. Our producers, Untak Hong, Pavritha Sarah George, Renata Johnson, and Stephanie von Borchowski. For all, I'm Stuart Lurie, global journalist. We'll be back next week.